All right. Expectation or expected value. It's one of those terms that we're going to hear on occasion. We're going to see it in the statistics books. And it's one of those, another one of those basic concepts that we really do need to master and understand. So the idea here is that let's get a foundation of this concept and this term, and then we're going to certainly build on it as we talk about the other elements of reliability and statistics as it's used in reliability. So expectation is a term that's used in probability theory, and it's used to say, well, if I'm looking at a range of different possibilities or events, what's the value I would expect? It's using its own itself to define it, but what's the value that's most likely given a set of circumstances? So if I'm looking at a group of events occurring and I'm making measurements of the mean value, it's what's the mean value that's most likely to occur? That's the expected value or expected mean, be one way to say that. On the other hand, if I'm interested in variance term or the skewness or kurtosis, which are different ways of describing a set of data, they have a value, and there are ways for us, given the parameters of a distribution or of the data set we're dealing with, is we can then calculate what are the expected values for that set of data or that for that distribution. So let's take a look at the mean value. So it's defined as it's the weighted average. It's the center of mass. So if one point is way out from the rest of them, it has an influence that includes the distance it's away. So the probability, and we're using a little bit of extra terminology here, so let me get my pen up. So this f of x, and we're going to see this in a future lesson, is also called the probability density function. So it's like a histogram. So let's just use it as a quick intro to this concept, but let's say I have a histogram and I got three sets of bars here and they have different heights, which is the probability of them occurring or just the count. So this one had two events occur, this one had one, and this one had three. And so I have a total space of six, and I had six things happen, but the second one happened three times. So if I'm looking for how to calculate the average for this, the expected value of x being a single value, I take x and say this is 1, 2, and 3 times the probability of that event occurring. So in my case, I have 1 times 2 out of 6. And then it's an integral, so I'm going to have 2 times 3 out of 6 and 3 times 1 out of 6, and those then get added. So in my discrete example here, the integral becomes very discrete and becomes pretty simple, actually becomes a summation sign. But this f of x altogether over the full range of all x's equals 1. It's a definition of a density function. But I'm doing a weighted average. I'm saying, what's the values, 1, 2, and 3, and then how often do they occur? And in this case, 2 occurs more often, but 1 occurs more often than the 3. So my average value, my expected value, is going to be a little bit less than 2. And we could run the numbers out and figure out what that is. But the idea is that what's my most likely value to occur? And then there's an equivalent for discrete cases, which is probably what I should have used for my example. But if I have a smooth probability density curve, PDF, then this f of x is dependent on the height of this curve, just like a histogram, for every value of x. So this is x sub 1, x sub 2, and so on. And what I would do is get rid of my pen, bring that back. And so what I do is, over that entire curve, is calculate the x value for the given f of x, and f of x is the height of, or the probability for that particular value of x. And then by integrating over the whole value of x, I calculate exactly the same as what I showed in the discrete case, where I'm summing the individual values times their probabilities. So hopefully that makes sense. But that's what an average is. That's what we commonly call an average or a mean value. It's the expected value from a statistician's point of view. And so it allows us to do this both for continuous variables or discrete variables. Now, the second way that we commonly talk about data sets is its spread. When we talked about the measures of dispersion, we mentioned that variance is what we typically use to describe the spread as statisticians. In practice, we commonly use standard deviation because of the convenience of the units. But the variance term is defined as the expected value of the differences between the individual values, the x's, and the mean. And then we take the square of that, and it gives us the magnitude of the differences, which is the way we're measuring the spread of the data. Now, we commonly use sigma squared to denote variance. But there's a few interesting things, is that if I'm expecting a value of a constant, by definition, the constant is not going to change, so it is what it is. If I have a constant C, and say it's equal to 3.14, then the value when I go look for that constant is going to be just itself, 3.14 in this particular case. But if I'm looking for the expected value of a group of numbers, a set of variable that say is a group of measurements, and we'll list those in a vector called x, then that expected value is the mean, and we use mu as the notation for that. But when it gets interesting is that there's a set of guidelines for us of how we deal with what happens when we multiply a constant times this vector. Well, we can pull C out, find the expected value of our value, and then it's just C times the mean, the constant times the mean value. Pretty clean on the first moment of things. The second moment on variance is there's no variance on a constant. There's nothing variable at all about it. So the variance of a constant is zero. We just define it that way. The variance of a vector of numbers, a set of measurements, for example, is just this formula we described above. But when we multiply a constant times the list of numbers and we're calculating variance, remember it's got this squared term in here. So that when the constant comes out, it's squared. The function of the variance is going to square these terms. So the square comes out. So I end up with the constant squared times my variance. And so we can work with variances, and you're going to hear this from me over and over again, is we can work with variances in this kind of mathematics, where this same kind of idea here doesn't work for standard deviations. So if you're given a bunch of standard deviations and you're going to multiply them times a constant, is then convert them to variances, do the math, and then bring it back to standard deviations. Keep you out of trouble. All right, well, some procedures work great. And so and my notation here got a little messed up. I think these two are reversed. So it's going to be a bracket here, and get rid of that. So the expected value of my sample standard deviation, sample variance, the S squared, is going to be the actual value for that set of data, the variance term. So this, and this goes back to that law of large numbers and some of these other things, that if I take lots and lots of samples, over time, my samples are going to average out to be the actual population's standard deviation, which is pretty convenient. Now, variance terms, the variance of my variance terms is this value. Now, I don't use this very often, and I think it's used more in just the theoretical or back plane of these things. But if you ever need to calculate the variance of your variance samples or your sample variances, then it's 2 sigma cubed n minus 1. And the n minus 1 is because it's a set of samples. And you can see that if I'm taking a variance term and I'm looking the variance of that, it's going to get squared again, so the sigma to the fourth power. Now, if it's not normal, then it starts to get more ugly, and I end up with this fairly long formula here to deal with it. Now, these aren't stuff that we use every day, but it underlies the difference in the calculations that if I assume it's normal, it's going to behave one way. If I assume it's not normal, I will get different results, and there are, in some cases, corrections for that in dealing with variances in particular. So I did use a little bit of a histogram example there when we were talking about expectation. And we're going to see that evolve a little bit more. And I did allude to this concept of probability density function. And we're going to tie those two together much more closely in the next segment. But we're also going to talk about beyond the probability density function, we're going to talk about the reliability function, the cumulative distribution function or density function, and the hazard function. And I call those the four functions because for any distribution we're dealing with, those are the four that describe the data in slightly different ways or describe the distributions in slightly different ways, all using the same parameters, but organized in a different way. And it's useful because they allow us to answer different kinds of questions very conveniently. And we're going to get lots of practice working with those.